Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us right now on the Harbor One Hotline, it is former New England Patriot Matt Light, Ken's archenemy. Matt, good morning. How are you?
Well, good morning, sir.
Knowing the man, the player, as well as you do, are you surprised at all that Tom Brady was able to get back to the Super Bowl?
I mean, I don't know that I'm surprised. I mean, it's like, okay, Tom Brady's in another Super Bowl, the 10th. I mean, yeah, no kidding, obviously. But the way they did it was kind of unique, right? I mean, I think when they came out the gate, in that New Orleans opener, it was like, ah, man, you know what? They look pretty decent. You know, there was a lot of talk about Tommy being too old and how's he going to be able to, you know, live without Bill Belichick and, you know, who are the guys around him? Are they going to be able to get on the same page? But they were playing a New Orleans team that was, you know, obviously hitting on all cylinders. And as you watched the Tampa Bay, Tom Brady, you know, team, you started to see the little pieces of the puzzle come together throughout the season. And I think, as you always heard here in New England, you get past Thanksgiving and you want to start seeing your team playing the best football they can play. And that's what they've been able to do. And you see that team hitting on all cylinders right now. They're playing really good football. And that's with Tommy, you know, arguably not even at the peak of his game, especially last week. So, yeah, it's pretty cool to watch this all unfold again.
We were discussing this earlier. When it comes to Tom Brady and what he brings to an organization, is it more the physical, the athletic skill, or is it the leadership, the will to win, the way in which he can? It appears that he has taken this franchise and made them believe in themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you're getting at, right, is what are the, you know, the tangible aspects to his game people can relate to, right? They understand that his technique and his drive, you know, his never being satisfied with kind of where he's at personally or where his team's at. We all get that. We've read some of the books. We understand, you know, don't eat strawberries, hydrate a lot, you know, all that kind of stuff. But what you're getting at and what you're hinting at, or what are the other things that maybe aren't as noticeable? And what I think that comes down to, right, you know, the attitude is a lot. You'll hear Tommy talk about it. I mean, didn't he do the whole tour with Tony Robbins and him, yeah, and Julian and all those guys? And some of that is true in the idea that your attitude, how you carry yourself, the things you say, how you talk to the people around you really does matter. And case in point, right, we've heard about the cancers in the locker room. We had them when I was in New England playing. We didn't have too many of them. We never really let them become distractions. Bill did a lot of that, you know, through personnel decisions and people that he would get rid of or bring in. But, you know, think about it in the context of being in business, right? When you walk into an office or you walk into a conference room and there's somebody there at the table that always has a negative attitude, it brings down the whole meeting in some form or fashion.
Right.
The same is true when you have somebody who, every day that you're around them, it maybe it's just the way they carry themselves. They always have a good attitude, even when they feel terrible, or even when, you know, that's kind of what Tommy does. Like, his attitude is always about, how can we get better? How can I talk to you in a way that maybe I can get you to understand what my expectations are and not just yell at you? I mean, we've seen him do it. We've seen him go off on the sideline But that's not what I'm talking about. Like, he holds himself at such a level that it forces everybody around him to just say, you know what? I'm in. I'm there. And I think it's pretty cool to watch. And there'll be a lot of stuff written about that down the road, I'm sure, by him and all the people that have been around him, even people like myself, to sing the praises of what Tommy brings to an organization.
And how much of that what existed in him before Bill Belichick, and how much of that can you say is something that he learned, that he observed with the way Bill conducted things?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's an interesting question. I think that, look, when I got to New England in 2001, I didn't even remember Tommy from the Big Ten. And I'm not saying that to be disrespectful or to be like, you know, like, oh, you know, this guy meant nothing. Like, I literally mean that. Like, I was in the Big Ten at the same time Tommy was there.
Yeah.
Right. You know, one of my guys that came into Purdue with me, and we were in the same, you know, rookie class, freshman class, you know, ended up as a roommate with Tommy when he was an undrafted, you know, free agent here in 2000. So, you know, I come to New England and I'm looking at this guy and I'm like, I don't remember him from Michigan. but what I did see, right, was, you know, this guy definitely loves the game of football and he is in it, you know, like as a backup, he's in it. And then of course, you know, the Mo Lewis hit heard around the AFC East, you know, and he comes in and he immediately, you know, transferred all of the work ethic and the determination and the chip on the shoulder, which he does have, whether, you know, it's talked about a lot in his own circle or not, but, you know, he brought all that early on, but I think he did develop, you know, Tommy 2.0, you know, through the tutelage of, you know, Bill Belichick and all the other coaches that he was around and winning, right? It's amazing what winning does. You hear Bill talk about it a lot, but it does something to you to build not just confidence, but that swagger that you can walk into any situation knowing that, hey, I've done everything I could. I got a great cast around me, and I'm going to go get it now. And he's been doing that for 20-plus years.
Matt, when Bill looks at everything and sees what Tom's able to do, do you think he kind of looks and goes, maybe I regret the decision of letting him walk away?
You know, I think from a maybe in a big picture sense, right? Like, I wish there would have been something we could have done. But I think ultimately, there was so much piled onto that relationship that it was like, okay, you know what? Yeah, I'm better off with a guy like Tom Brady, you know, commanding the offense, but it's just not going to work for me, right? Like, it was more of a, Wiggy, you know, like Bill always talks about, I'm going to do what's in the best interest of the team. And that was always kind of the stopping point, right? Like, you know, we're not going to make it emotional. We're not going to try to, you know, spend too much money in one specific area, right? We're going to try to do what's in the best interest of the team, and that's how we make decisions. And that's truly how he governs it. I have a hard time looking at Tom Brady walking out of New England and saying that it fits that category. So on one hand, I think, yeah, there is regret. I don't think it fits the mold. I think there was value in Tom Brady. There's clearly been proven now value in Tom Brady. And I think that's one of those you wish you had back. It's a do-over.
But he's not – is he a guy who looks back at things and has regret or only looks forward?
Yeah. No, okay. So he's not dwelling on that, right? I mean, I think, again, big picture, you know, wishes he had that one back. But he's not going to dwell on that. I mean, the minute he made that decision to move on, and I think that happened, you know, probably last season sometime, right? Or the season, not this past season, but the season before when things started really to crumble and
yeah,
there's a lack of communication and, you know, Tommy's actions and, you know, when he was around, when he wasn't around and everybody talk about it. I think that was made then. And I don't think he's ever looked back. And that Bill's not that kind of guy. This is a rebuilding year for Bill in a million different ways. And like I said on this show before the season ever started, you know, I don't think Bill looked at this as a real NFL season, right? I think he approached it completely different. Again, I don't think he went out there and didn't give it his all. I mean, he did what he could, but he did it in a different way, knowing that he's building for this next season. So, he's not looking back.
But couldn't they have gone to couples counseling or something like that? And, when it comes to toxic relationships, couldn't they have found a way through it for us? I mean, just for a couple more.
Hey, listen, I can't understand how any man couldn't love olives. Black olives, green olives, the ones with the little...
They're disgusting. Yeah. Matt, they are disgusting. They're gross. I can't...
See, and once you get to that point, though, I can't convince you that black olives are worth eating, right? So this is a black olive situation, Greg, where they're not going to be able to make this work.
Yeah.
Matt, you're close with the Patriots organization and the Crafts. How did Robert and Jonathan allow the relationship between Brady and Bill to become past the point of no return?
Well, you know, again, it's there's so much depth to that, you know, kind of a conversation. And, you know, I think that there's a very interesting relationship that exists between ownership, head coach, player personnel guys, and players around the league. It's done so wildly different. And it's not as if one way always works, right? Because I've seen examples and I'm like, man, there's no way that's going to work. And how they share information and how they talk and how they communicate and what they do in front of players. Man, I can tell you, there are guys in the league that have been on other teams and watched crazy stuff happen between ownership and coaches. And we've never experienced that, or at least I never experienced that in my 11 seasons in New England, right? It was always very professional. It was very clear that Bill made the decisions for the team, and the Kraft family guided the organization as a whole to give it the best ability to succeed within the framework of how they communicated with the head coach. And and we didn't understand it all. I don't know what the rules of engagement there are, but there is separation and there is trust between, you know, those two entities and how they operate. So I don't know how it got to that point. I know that the relationship between Bill and Tommy and then the Kraft family and Tommy are two totally separate areas.
When you look at Bill, right, you were around in 2002 when you guys missed the playoff, and then the next year you get back to the Super Bowl. What's Bill's mindset? You talk about mindset and you know, creating a culture of winning. How determined is he now, especially after the way this season played out, for him to be right back in the conversation next year as the Patriots being a legit contender in the AFC?
Well, I think that Bill has been shifting how he organizes and runs his team over the last, you know, 5 to 10 years. I mean, it's been an interesting transition to watch. And look, there's a lot of things that come into play there. You know, his personnel, I mean, the number of people that have come through, you know, the coaching carousel here in New England has been really interesting to see. If you go back and you do a full dissection of, you know, who these people are coaching, who's joining Bill's staff, the kind of people he's bringing in for like temporary positions to full-time positions, it's very interesting to watch. And then on top of that, you have the rules and all the changes. So Bill's had to really change his game. And I think he has probably been energized by how do I win in this new NFL environment? Because it's drastically different. And that's what Bill's all about. Give me a challenge. Let me see what the rules are and how I can find a niche and how I can find a little bit of an advantage. And then let's exploit that to the nth degree. And I don't think this past season he had the tools to do that. I think he knew that going into it. And there's a lot of reasons there too. This pandemic was a lot of it. But coming out of this, I think Bill's learned a lot about this season. And to your point, I think he's fired up. And they'll be a very different Patriots team in 21.
If you look at your 11 years and what those teams were able to accomplish, would you have been able to accomplish it either without Bill Belichick or without Tom Brady?
Yeah, no way. I mean, and that was, you know, that was like lightning in a bottle, man. And by the way, those two are definitely the catalyst. But within every catalyst, you got to have fuel to burn, right? Like, you can get that spark, you can get that, you know, really fire, you know, that you light underneath some people that are the like the mouthpieces for the offense or the defense. But, you know, it's other guys. It's man, I look back on my time and I think about the guys like Mike Vrabel, right? And the minute he became a head coach in the National Football League, I told everybody I knew, I said, that guy's going to have success because there's something special about a Mike Vrabel. There's something special about a Teddy Bruschi. You know, there's something special about a Kevin Faulk. There's something special about a Steve Neal. I could go on for days. We had the fuel for the catalyst of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady to be able to, you know, burn through a number of championships and create a dynasty.
Now, Matt, we agree on many things. I agree with your statement earlier in the year that this was not really football as we have come to know it. It's kind of a joke. So, therefore, won't we look back on this Brady trip to the Super Bowl as kind of insignificant in the big picture?
Well, listen, I figured you'd come up with a hard-hitting question here, Ken. I mean, that's a really good lead into what we can talk about. Yeah, no, look, again, like I said, I think this is how I think Bill, you know, views this. And again, not because I've talked to him, but because, you know, he does things at the highest level. And if you're in his shoes, how else can you look at this, really? I mean, think about the ridiculousness of what these coaches have had to endure. Number one, you're wearing a face mask on a sideline. I mean, if that's not asininely stupid, just as wearing a face mask going into any establishment thinking that it's going to do anything when it's been proven otherwise. But we could go on for days about that. So it's ridiculous to look at this season and the rules of engagement and think that a guy like Bill Belichick is like, yeah, let's go. Let's get after it. We got a game to win. This is business as usual. There was no way to predict who was even going to be on the field, whether they opted out or opted in, right? So, look, I don't think that Tom Brady going to a Super Bowl is insignificant. They put in a lot of work. And because they put in the work, they earned the right to be where they are. And if they do win the championship, or if it's a Patrick Mahomes-led KC team, right, it'll be something that they can hang their hat on, for sure. But is it something that, you know, a guy like Bill Belichick looks at and says, yeah, I'm gonna do everything I can to pull out all the stops? Because that's what it takes, right, to win, you know, in the National Football League. And if you don't think that it's really worth it based on the rules of engagement and how ridiculous this thing has become, which I think we can all agree that this season was kind of crazy with the number of players in the not in out category carousel, it's kind of ridiculous to look at it and think otherwise.
So Bill kind of looks at it like, if you want to judge Brady versus Belichick, you got to wait till next year, till it's a real season.
Question: did Bill get his full $25 million check for this quote fake season?
Hey man, we're all getting checks, right? Let's just keep throwing them out there.
Last thing for me, when we know about Belichick and we know about Brady, what makes them great is their passion and love for the game. How long you think that Tom plays for, and how long you think Bill coaches for? Because I feel like these guys are not going nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, Tom is such an anomaly. I mean, he really is, and it kind of bothers me. I mean, it just bothers me that, you know, I feel as fat and sloppy and out of shape and winded in everything that I do, and he's still out there doing what he's always done at the highest level. On the other hand, you know, let's compare it to a guy like Drew Brees, right? And these are, you know, I mean, I've said this many times, but you can be the worst left tackle in the world, but if you got Drew Brees and Tom Brady as your only two quarterbacks since high school, you'll do fine in life, right? Yeah, you'll look great. I mean, it's ridiculous. But, you know, Drew is right there with Tommy in longevity. They're both, you know, record holders in really unique ways. They've done it at the highest level for the longest time ever. And I look at Brees' situation and say, you know what? There's probably a good likelihood that he does retire after this season, right? I mean, for a lot of reasons. Tommy, though, on the other hand, let's say he wins a championship, it'd be like the perfect time to go out. And in back of my mind, it's like the guy's probably not going to give it up. He's going to probably keep going. And I don't know what that spark will be that in his mind he says, I need to hang it up. But what I do think is right now, there's nothing in him that has that, you know, thought process coming through.
And Bill, how long do you think Bill goes for?
Till the end of time. The end of time. Be like the Emperor, man. It'll just be the hoodie, and you can't really see anything under it. But supposedly, he's still there, and that's 2063.
Right. Him and Larry King will both be frozen together.
All right. Well, it's an amazing accomplishment. You cannot take anything away from the fact that Tom Brady at age 43 is playing in another Super Bowl. It's just amazing. We were talking earlier, they're calling this the greatest quarterback matchup in a Super Bowl ever. I think it's kind of early on Mahomes to do that, but I don't know. Maybe you can argue that.
It'll be fun. I know that much. And I'll tell you, they got their work cut out for them, because if you want to talk just, you know, this game in particular, you watch Kansas City just execute at just an amazing level. I mean, you know, from the tight end to the running back to a guy like Hill to, you know, how that offense can seemingly just, you know, dial up anything and have success with it. All the trick plays, all the misdirection stuff, the straight up drop back passes, you know, Mahomes creating opportunities. I mean, that's a very tough team to stop. And I think it's going to come down to Tom Brady doing what he's done many times in his career, feeding the ball in that running game, using the physicality of his guys up front. Their center is a physical dude. They got other guys on that front line that are physical guys, and if they can run the rock and keep the ball out of Mahomes' hands, they'll have a good chance of winning this one.
All right, before you go, I know you got an event coming up for the Matt Light Foundation, and give it a plug.
Yeah, baby, we got our Fool's Night Out back. We took the spring off last year, April 1st, man. You can't forget that date. This is not a joke. This is not a, you know, no shenanigans, but we will be at the Minden Drive-In Theater for the first time ever for Fool's Night Out. You got a whole carload. Bring them. All the information's at madlight72.com. We got the best comedians, of course, headed up by our dear friend, Mr. Lenny Clark, and his brother, Mike. They organized the whole thing.
They are the best.
And when I say fun, it's fun. And Wiggy will pull out some shenanigans from back in the day in the locker room. We always like airing a few of those at this event. And we'll have some fun in Minden on April 1st. So go to MattLight72.com. I appreciate you, brother.
Was Light one of the guys that you watched and learned from? You mentioned guys earlier.
Yeah, right? I mean, Light was guy.
You seem kind of hesitant to say that you learned anything.
From everybody I played with.
Okay.
That was my thing.
What did you learn from?
I wasn't the biggest, the fastest, the strongest.
What did you learn from Light?
Quick hands.
Oh, okay.
Get your hands on them. get your hands on them before their engine can get going.
Hey, listen, man. I learned how to laugh in the most tense environment of my life, my rookie season, by watching Wiggy and watching our man, Mr. Rod Rutledge, because those two would be cutting up in the back of the room, and I'm like, man, they're going to get fired. What are these cats doing? This is crazy. This is like Seriousville. You can't laugh in here.
So what
God
you're
love
saying,
you, Wig.
So yeah, what you're saying is not much has changed. While Bill was having a meeting, Wiggy was talking over everybody.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying? Yeah. All right.
We had a good time, boy.
It's MattLight72.com, right, to learn about the event?
Yes, sir.
All right, Mr. Light, great to talk to you.
Yeah, you too. You guys have a great week.
You have enraged the Kens of the world with your comment about masks, so get ready for the backlash. It's coming in your direction.
I love it.
All right, we'll see you soon.
Later. Right.
There he is. Wow.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.